Yes, you are. You are light. India Ari singing as you and for you. Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live here on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. That way, you too can become part of the conversation and dialogue that happens afterwards. But whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying one of the recordings, thank you so much for being here. Well, wisdom is really about knowing with more of you. It's not knowing more. It's knowing deeper. It's the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions, all parts of you. So Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the human heart and consciousness. Today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations, and each one's going to be followed by a time of silence where you're invited to the contemplative practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Resonate, to explore, does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a word or a short phrase that you hear. Reflect, an opportunity to ponder deeply with words and images and thoughts. Respond, you can respond in all kinds of ways, such as journaling or prayer or movement or art. Rest, just to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. And after those three reflections and time of silence, I'd like to share a spiritual practice with you each week, and then we'll enter into group dialogue. Before we begin these wisdom contemplations this evening, I would like to let you know that on the Contemplative Inner Being website, we just posted a new online course on solidarity. It's 6 lessons. There's some questions for reflection. There's a brief meditation, which is also a summary of the lesson, and a brief personal reflection so that you can stand in that space of each lesson. You can go to contemplativeinterbeing.org/courses, and you will see that course on solidarity. We continue to add little tweaks to all of our courses, so feel free to explore those and come back to them ever so often. With that, and with an open heart, with a calm, centered presence, you're invited to take a gentle breath. Find a comfortable seating position, one where you can feel peaceful and yet alert and awake as we begin these reflections. Friends, growth in spirituality involves detaching from our separate or false self and living from our true self. As Yeshua said, we must die to ourselves. We must lose ourselves to find ourselves. And our attachment to our small, separate, false self must die to allow our true self. Our true self is our basic, unchangeable identity in God. And until we let that false self die, will we actually live fully and freely? The whole illusion of a separate, holy existence is actually a dream. If only we could see the secret beauty of each other's hearts. If only we could all see ourselves as we really are. If only we could see each other that way all the time. Right at the center of our being is a point of nothingness, which is untouched by sin and by illusion. It's a point of pure truth, a point of spark which belongs entirely to God. which is never at our disposal, from which God disposes of our lives, which is inaccessible to the fantasies of our own mind or the brutalities of our own will. And this little point of nothingness, of absolute poverty, is the pure glory of God in us. It is like a pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. That light that India RE was talking about in our opening video. That diamond that Richard Rohr calls immortal diamond. It is in everybody, and if we could see it, we would see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely. And it seems that there is a human temptation to run from and deny not just the divine presence, but our own true selves, our souls, our inner destiny, our true identity. Our true self is that part of us that knows who we are and whose we are, although it's largely unconscious. You see, we are made for transcendence and endless horizons. But our small little ego usually gets in the way until we become aware of its petty preoccupations and eventually seek a deeper truth. It is like mining for a diamond. We must dig deep, and yet we seem reluctant, even afraid to do so. And we are more driven by outer authority than drawn by the calm and loving inner authority, the indwelling Holy Spirit, that inner authority of prayer and practice and inner experience. And it's this that has a much better chance of allowing us to meet and know our true self. Friends, for all practical purposes, this change of identity from our separate self to the connected and true self is the major, it's almost seismic shift in motivation and consciousness itself that mature religion rightly calls conversion. And this clarification and rediscovery of the true self, it lays a solid foundation and a clear initial goal for all religion. We can't build any serious spiritual house if we don't first find something solid and foundational to build it on inside ourselves. And remember, like knows like. That's the principle. God in us already knows, loves, and serves God in everything else. So let us pause here now to do a little diamond mining as we resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Who are we really? You know, the false self is all the things that we pretend to be and think we are. It is the pride, the arrogance, the title, the costume, the role, and even the degree we take to be ourselves. It's almost entirely created by our minds, our cultures, and our families. And when we buy into the false self and over-identify with it, we have to keep over-identifying with it. We have to keep defending it and promoting it as the best. The false self is over-identified on a social level, a corporate level, a national level, an ethnic level. So we have to undercut the illusion right at the beginning. And when we do that, that's when we discover the true self, hidden with Christ in God, as the scripture says. Our true self in God becomes our touchstone, and absolutely, it levels the playing field. It gives us a new set of eyes. If we are living out of the false self, all we can do is measure, compare, evaluate, compete, label. And that's called dualistic thinking. And it's where our world lives. Conversely, when we put on the eyes and mind of Christ, then we have a new pair of glasses. We can look around and know that the world is filled with infinite images of God. We are all moving in the direction of knowing who we really are, letting go of our preoccupation with how we look and measure up. As we come to a deeper acceptance of our true self, we know that our identity comes from God's love, not from what other people think of us or say about us. Now, the false self is not the bad self. Our false self is good and necessary as far as it goes. It just doesn't go far enough. And so then it just often poses and substitutes for the real thing. That's why it's called false. Our false self, which can also be called our small self or our separate self, is kind of our launching pad, you know. It's our body image, it's our job, it's our education, it's our clothes, it's our money, our car, our success, and so on. And they're all largely projections of our self-image and our attachment to it. And it doesn't matter if the self-image is positive or negative. Either one of them can be held too tightly, and that's what reinforces our attachment to the false self. We don't need to think of ourselves as better or worse than each other. I am who I am as the image of God, and that does level the playing field. When we are able to move beyond our separate or false self, it will eventually feel as if we have lost nothing. In fact, it will feel like freedom and liberation. When we are connected to the whole, you see, then we no longer need to protect or defend that little part. So, to not let go of our false self at the right time and in the right way is precisely what it means to be stuck and trapped and addicted to ourself. And so the traditional word for that was sin. It's the result of feeling separate from the whole. But friends, it's our false self. That's what changes and passes and dies when we die. Only our true self lives forever. So let's take a moment now to rest in the silence. Take an opportunity to do a little bit more mining of that diamond, to resonate, reflect, respond, rest. Dear ones, God gives us our soul, our essence, our deepest identity, our true self. It's our unique blueprint. It's given to us at our conception. Our unique little bit of heaven is installed with the product by the manufacturer at the beginning. And we are given a span of years to discover it, to choose it, and live our destiny to the full. To do that, we need to unlearn a lot, it seems, to get back to the foundational life which is hidden in God. And all we can give back and all God wants from any of us is to humbly and proudly return the product that we have been given, which is ourselves. This finished product is more valuable to God than it seemingly is to us. And we are definitely in on the deal. We are participating in something very good, in spite of our best efforts to deny it or avoid it. You see, there's nothing to join. There's only something to recognize, to suffer and enjoy as a participant. It's an inactive understanding of the sacred. And whether we find our true self depends on the moments of freedom that we each receive and choose. Life is indeed monumentous, created by those accumulated moments in which the deeper I is slowly revealed, if we're ready to see it. So holding our inner blueprint, which is a good description of our soul, and returning it humbly to the world and to God by love and service, is indeed of ultimate concern. Tara Brach says that our true nature is loving awareness. And trust in this loving awareness is the essence of who we are, all are, and that becomes a guiding light that India RE talked about. So no matter how wrong or lacking we may feel, how caught in separation, or how trapped by the messages, the violations, and inequities of the society we live in, this basic goodness remains the essence of our being. We do cover our own innate goodness as we encounter a challenging world. As we grow up, we increasingly internalize the judgments and values of our society, further losing touch with our innocence, our creativity, and our tender hearts. And what we do is we add these layer after layer to protect ourselves. And we become identified with our coverings, believing ourselves to be separate, to be threatened, to be deficient. And yet, even when we cannot see the gold, the light and love of our true nature cannot be dimmed. It can't be tarnished. It can't be erased. It calls to us daily through our longings for connection. It's our urge to understand reality, our delight in beauty, our natural desire to help others. And our deepest intuition is that there is something beyond our habitual story of a separate and isolated self. It's something vast. It's something mysterious. It's something sacred. Even though the gold of your true nature can't get buried beneath fear, uncertainty, and confusion, even though it can get buried there, the more you trust this loving presence as the truth of who you are, the more fully you will call it forth in yourself and then all those you touch. And in our communities, as we humans increasingly remember that gold, we will treat each other and all beings with a growing reverence and love. So let's take a moment now into the silence and see if we can't nurture that growing reverence and love as we look to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. I invite you to say to yourself out loud, since no one else can hear you, say, I am light. I am love. I am an immortal diamond. And as you slowly, slowly, slowly begin to believe that, you will begin to witness your own conversion. Thank you for your presence and your receptivity and your loving awareness. About 2 weeks ago, I shared this spiritual practice in the morning meditation, but I decided that it was one of those that needed to be shared again. So that's what we're going to share this week. It's called Prayer in the Heart. It comes from Richard Rohr. I believe it is in this book, Immortal Diamond. But don't hold me to that. So here's your spiritual practice for the week. Prayer is bringing your thinking down from your head into your heart. And this isn't just sentimentality. Actually, it was almost the preoccupation of much of Orthodox monasticism and the teachings of the Desert Fathers and Mothers. At first, it might seem like soft piety until someone teaches you how to do it and you learn the immense benefits of it. You might think of it as a form of Buddhist Tonglen or loving kindness meditation, but it is a little different. So here's the practice. Next time there you have a resentment or a negativity or an irritation, and that comes into your mind, where you want to play it out or attach to it, move that thought or that person literally into your heart space. Because all those commentaries that you have, they're almost entirely lodged in your head. And in that heart space, you surround it with the silence, which is actually much easier to do in the heart. And in the heart, that is where it's surrounded with blood, which will often feel like warm coals. And in this place, it's almost impossible to comment, to judge, to create those storylines, or even remain antagonistic. You are in a place that doesn't create or feed on contraries. It's within the natural organ of life, of embodiment and love. Yeah, that's right. Love lives and thrives right in the heart space. And then that can keep you from wanting to hurt people who have hurt you. And it keeps you from your obsessive, repetitive, and compulsive head games. It can make the difference between being happy and being miserable and negative. You just bring that thought or person, surround it with your heart. Let that be your prayer, giving it lifeblood, moving out of the head and all those commentaries and judgments. Could this be what we are really doing when we say we are praying for someone? Yep. We are holding them in our heart space. And so you do it in an almost physical sense. And when you do it, you will see how calmly and quickly it actually works. And to our podcast and YouTube listeners, we invite you to join us any Wednesday or Sunday evening and be part of the conversation that happens next. And until then, remember that love is the way that you are loved. So stay awesome and be love. We hope to see you again soon.